So a few of you guys were at the Advance this past week. I think sometimes people who haven't been around in a while in a large group, they see how wonderful the family works together again. The last 30 years have been rough stuff on people, believers. You know, many of them have hidden in corners of the country that we don't even know. And when people see, you know, that, like, you know, I don't even talk too much about Harbor Light Fellowship, but I sure am grateful for the leadership within the framework of this. I saw it again, you know, just how we and how easy it is. The adversary sure has screwed people up. And so when people come in from, quote unquote, the outside, wonderful believers, know the word, believe it just as much as we do, but they haven't been exposed to being around that many people walking in love and living the mystery, it makes some kind of impact on people. And again, I saw that, how the Word of God, and this is going to be my closing sharing on healing tonight, I think, but how the Word of God and the love of God, when those two are combined, are just the greatest healing reality there is. And so people, you know, who were guarded were diffused very quickly because of the Word and because of the love that they saw. And that's good that we can be part of that diffusing of the bombs that could come. You see the movies, you know, they got 6 seconds to get rid of the bomb, you know. It's down to 0.1. One of these days, I wish at the beginning of one of those movies, it'd just blow the hero up. And then the movie ends with a cartoon figure that says, oops. So, it was just a great weekend. Diane and I got back Wednesday night. Back rolling. If you want to go to Psalm 107... You know, God's Word has all things that pertain unto life and godliness, right? And it's in God's Word that we see the tremendous healing that's available. And God's Word's a lot different than, like, Mother Goose or... who's that dude... Dr. Seuss, how did you know? Dr. Seuss, you know, or, you know, Tom Clancy or anything. God's Word is a healing and delivering Word. And when we believe God's Word for the first time, we got born again. That's the first time we believed it. And when we got born again, everything changed. It all changed. You know, in a moment of time, we went from death to life, and a real life, a life that is complete in its scope, a life that is just completely full. I look back on my life and think, God, what a fantastic life I've had and have. It's not over. I got to go to California. You know, what a life we have. And a lot of you guys have been in the Word 40 or 50 years. What a life we've had. And what a life we've had the privilege of spending with people who are like-minded and who are loving and kind. I got a letter not too long ago from one of the people that come to this fellowship, expressing the coldness of some people that we knew and that we love, but very cold and very sensitive situations, and how that must hurt. But see, God's not like that. God's desire for his people like us is we're to be loving and kind. And if we get mad, we get mad at the adversary. But God's word is the most healing thing. God's love is just such a healing thing. And when we got born again, all life changed for us. It just changed. Our minds didn't change right away. But for most of us, our minds and our hearts were very excited to learn that it was possible for us to have a life that's more than abundant. It's in God's word that we learned how to love. We didn't know how to love. Our parents did their best. But they really didn't know how to love the way God loves. And when we got born again and we got taught God's rightly divided word, we learned how to love. And how appealing that has been through the years. Even, you know, just last weekend comes to mind. The impact. I'm tired of people showing off all they know in the word and, you know, talk about, I even mentioned it in my teaching, you know, I think I said, you know, I don't care if you know all 212 figures of speech and the 40 different varieties within one figure. That's nice. I mean, it is, and it's good to know. I'm not belittling that, but we can love. That, to me, is more impactful. We learned God's love, and we learned how to manifest it. We learned how to manifest it. And, you know, through the years, I've had great teachers of that. How to be tough but tender. How to see and how to be able to separate the sin from the sinner. Jesus Christ was a master at that. But we've had great examples through the years, many of us, that taught us by their actions to be able to do that. And that's an incredible thing to learn. Just counseling somebody, it never stops. But a great believer, but just so screwed up, holding on to something that another believer did or said. And by this time, I don't even know if he knew if it was true or not, but he held on to it, you know. It's just one of the aspects of healing that I shared in the past weeks was how forgiveness is one of the most healing realities there is. People hold on to stuff. When they do, they give place to the adversary. And when you give place to the adversary, all hell can break loose. But boy, this past weekend was a great example of the love of God being manifested as a result of the believing in God's word. God's word shows us the value of prayer and how the believing while you're praying manifests great things in our lives. We see prayers come to pass where it's not made up, it's not contrived, but it's God's word, and we know from the word of God what we should pray for. And we see these things come to pass in our life. What does it do for us when we see God's word come to pass in our life as a result of praying? And of course, God's goodness and grace. The value of prayer. How healing, helpful, and how effective it is. It's just incredible. It's in God's word where we learn how to maintain and establish fellowship with God. Now, of course, was another thing I've shared these past weeks. And how that contributes greatly to our healing wholeness. Having fellowship with God and having fellowship with like-minded believers. And how that brings God's abundance physically, mentally, spiritually. pretty cool. I guess we ought to go to the Bible. Psalm 107. It says, we'll just read the psalm. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. That's kind of how it was down there this weekend. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Why? Because they rebelled against the words of God. That's never a good place to be. And they contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses, and he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near to the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. You know, I'm going to get back into this, but you think about how many times you just thought, God, I can't take this anymore. I need help. And then help comes. And geez, it's just, our God is so great. And he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, the men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them into their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into standing water, and dry ground into water springs. Very hungry to dwell. Why? So that they may prepare a city of habitat for habitation. They sow the fields and plant the vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low, through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth out, he poureth contempt upon wilderness where there is no way, yet sitteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice. And that's what I saw this weekend. Some of the righteous saw it and they rejoiced. And all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand. God's loving kindness is sure healing. It's sure delivering. It sure is helpful. You know, when we share God's word like we do, it should help people. It should help people. There's a time and place to looking at things like the temple in the Old Testament and all that it represented. And, you know, that's just one thing that comes to mind. There's a time and place for that. But boy, when you're amongst God's people, what people need is help from God's word. In Psalm 107:1, it says, they gave thanks unto the Lord. And I've shared so many times that in order to give thanks, you've got to give thanks to. On the day of my first wedding, so funny, it was the week of Thanksgiving, and on the marquee or whatever they call in the church that Georgia and I went to, it's where I got married. Said, Thanksgiving is thanks living. It's kind of cool. And it says, for he is good. The word good here means loving, kind, gracious, merciful. I mentioned Patty Hannon's teaching a little while earlier and how he taught we got the right and the might. One thing he emphasized at the beginning is the adversary has the right and the might in this world. He's the God of this world. Therefore, you know, you see these horrible tragedies that are going on like overseas there in the Middle East. And, you know, it's horrible. But until the Lord comes back, but this world is not our home. We have Christ in us. And he's greater and bigger and stronger, more powerful, more wise than any devil spirit in the whole world. And we have the right as sons of God, and we have the might because he's given us his power. For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Mercy means to be kind and affectionate toward one another, show favor toward, show goodness toward. And that's how God is towards us. He doesn't bless us because we're so great all the time. He blesses us because he wants to. Look at verse 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary place, away. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. They had no homes. They were hungry. They were thirsty. They were in a desolate situation. But then there's God, right? Verse 6, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from all of their distresses. Real quick, go to Psalm 34. In verse 17. Somebody there? Want to read it? Want to read it, Kelsey?
Psalm 34, verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles.
There you go. Somebody go, want to read Psalm 61, 1 through 30. Whoever gets there first.
Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer.
1 through 3.
Okay. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy.
That's our God. Our God is a strong God. He's a shelter from the storms. He's the one who really helps us. Because they cried. This word cry means to cry out, especially when you're in pain, either physically or mentally, or if you have great sorrow. It's a crying out for help. You know, to cry out for help implies being humble. You know, being humble. People can look humble, but be very prideful. People can look prideful, but be very humble. You know in your heart if you're humble or not, if you're willing to listen to what God has to say. And it's very important to be humble if we're ever going to get anywhere with God. So the word crying out implies humbleness, but it also implies intensity and energy of utterance to cry out with everything that you've got. You cry out with everything you got for help. You know, when Jesus Christ asked what was the first and great commandment, and he said to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you know. That's a pretty easy to say, but do we do that with all our heart? Sometimes we are reluctant to even share when nobody's around everything that's inside of us to God. Why? It's a trick. He understands us. He knows our frame. He knows we're dust. He knows that there's nothing great that comes out of us. The only thing is God that comes great out of us. It's not how nice we are, how mean we are, how happy or sad we are. He knows our hearts. Old Samuel asked Jesse, we're going to anoint somebody, you know. So he brings out the oldest child. He's probably really handsome and big. And behold, there he is. He's the next one. And God says, no, he's not. I still get a kick out of that. But Samuel was humble. He could have just rode right through it because that was who he said out loud was the next anointed. But he was humble when God said, you ain't looking like I look. I look at the heart. Crying out with everything you got for help. And in the Old Testament, when you see this word cry, where they really cried out, deliverance is always the thing that follows it. So why be prideful? What do why be prideful? I mean, we all know, because of the song, Love Has No Pride. No, I'm just kidding. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, verse 6 of Psalm 107, and he delivered them out of all their distresses. Delivered, one of the meanings is to smooth out. He smooths the situation out. To smooth out or to slip away. It also means to escape. It means to completely deliver. To escape from imminent danger by slipping out. And we've all seen movies like that, you know. The enemy's coming, you know. Then they get out of it some way. Diane and me were watching some super... At lunch, it's always a real trip here. Because we either watch Bonanza or Rawhide or, you know, Gunsmoke. But today, they had the Waltons on. I'm not interested in that happy family. They make me sick, actually. The Waltons. Good night, John Boy. Good night. Shut up with this. Anyway, I've been really mellow tonight. I'm going to continue on that path. But... We were watching, what was it, Flash Gordon? No, it wasn't Flash Gordon. Flash Gordon. Wow. Hey, geez. What superhero thing? Captain America in Winterland. Not Winterland. Winterland. Captain America in Winterland featuring the Grateful Dead. So, it was pretty crazy. Diane likes that. You know, the superheroes doing their super things. But God's delivered us. And he gets us out of trouble so many times. And I'm glad he does. I feel like somebody wrote a song about it years ago, God Spoiled Kid, you know. I'll do so many things wrong. I mean wrong. And then, you know, I don't know what happens. Maybe I'm not doing something wrong in a second, and God blesses me. I don't know how it all works. But I sure am thankful that it does work. I depend on God. I depend on him for helping me and delivering me and saving me from my troubles. Look at verse 11. Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. It's never good to rebel against God's word. I just shared that. God, I had an interesting time in Atlanta. It was so great with the word, but boy, so many things. You know, the word also stirs things up, you know. Light makes manifest what?
Darkness.
It brings it up, and then, you know, you keep pouring the light in and it dispels it. But this was one of the things that came up. You know, when you know what the Word of God says, and we've all done it, so make sure you know I'm not condemning anybody, but in this particular instance, they knew what God's Word says, and they weren't doing what God's Word says. It's really very difficult for God to really help you in the area that you need help when you're just banging your head against the Word. It's not good to rebel against God. And it's not good for any of us to rebel against this counsel. Too often we think we're smart and we're not. I don't care what kind of degree you have. I don't care. You may be intelligent, but I don't know how smart you are. I was in charge of our world. It would be frightening. But one thing I would do, I think, is when kids graduated high school, I'd make them work for 2 or 3 years. Let them figure some stuff out. And I'd throw them out of the house. Let them figure it out. Live with some people. Me and Joyce did that with all our kids. 18, they're gone. They knew it ahead of time. And they look forward to it, actually. But... you know, it helped them a lot. It helped them a lot. You keep your kid home till they're 55 years old. This is the Italian way. You keep your kid home until they get married. And even then, you might want to keep him in the house. You know, it's like, come on. Anyhow, they rebelled against God, and that's not a good thing. We're not very smart. Look at 1 Corinthians 1. Now, what does this have to do with healing? Everything. Everything. You just see what a loving God he is. And how he's so loving that he maps out for us what's good for us, what's not so good for us, what will help us, what won't help us. I believe, you know, and I cannot tell you today I'm going to break out the book of Ezekiel and teach it to you, because I don't really know that book. But God has laid out so many great things that are practical to see and understand and do. Like, look at verse 25, chapter 1. It says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, no, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolishness of the world, things of the world, to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. You know, that's right, boy. I'm doing this physical therapy business, and I don't understand insurance. I mean, you know, I got dumped from my first physical therapy person. Now I'm with another physical therapy person. It's fine. No, it's fine. And yesterday I walk into this physical therapy person. It's all Hindus, pretty much. And I love the Hindu people. I just think they're so sweet and kind. They've always been good to me. But I'm a little nervous, you know. I don't know if you can tell by looking at me, but I'm not Hindu. I'm quite white. And, you know, I don't know these people. And I was in it for like a minute. And our friend Mahudi, which is Sonny, who I've known for years and years, and we, you know, he's asked me to pray for things, and things come to pass, and, you know, he does this and this and this, and he bows, you know, it's nerve-wracking, but it's the respect that they have for God. And one, I was there, and he immediately saw me, and he goes to the owner, he goes, "This is a man of God. You treat him with respect. You treat him well. You do more for him than anybody else. You help him. He's blessed my family so many times." See? Boy. Just fantastic. And I was treated really well, and I was taken good care of. But he's chosen the foolish things. And that's what made me think of myself, because I'm a fool. But not really. No, it's foolish enough to believe God, I guess. That works a lot more than brain. He's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And boy, doesn't it. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, the base things of the world, the things which are despised. Even you, Dorsey. Hath God chosen? Yea, the things which are not. See, there's an edit. To bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Yeah, what a section of God's word. Isn't that a section? Right out of the gate in Corinthians. And Corinthians is a reproof epistle, if I remember right. And that's when you're not believing rightly. Evidently, these believers were big-headed. They thought they were, you know, all that and a heart attack. Look at Psalm 107 again, verse 13. And I know I've shared this psalm before, but I thought in closing with this healing business stuff, that this is really an appropriate psalm to close and kind of wrap it up. Verse 13 says, "They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses." He saved them out of their distresses. We live in a world that's stressful. Distress means extreme mental affliction. In the Greek, I think it's the word thlipsis. I don't know what it is in the Hebrew, but they mean pretty much the same thing. It's like having your mind compressed in a vice. We saw that in Goodfellas. Oh, that Joe Pesci, God bless him. But it's like your head just being put in a vice by all this pressure. Who was the ones that did that song? Pressure. Yeah. It's to be oppressed. It's not a good thing. But God saved us out of that. And God hasn't changed. When you cry to God, God's going to help you. We just have to get rid of our foolish pride and our ego and humble ourselves before the great hand of the Almighty. Look at verse 15. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works of the children to the children of men." Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. That means his love, his kindness, his graciousness, his mercy. It's that stuff that God extends to people like us who don't deserve it. But he loves us. He's good to us. He's kind to us. What great example for parents on how to treat children as you're raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What's the verse we all taught our kids? The first verse? First verse.
Children,
so obey your parents in the Lord. That's right. And that's right. That's everybody. They never listen to it, but verse 20 says he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. It does not say some. It doesn't say all either, does it? But he delivers them from their destructions, and I think we're included in that. Again, it means to completely deliver, to slip away, to escape from imminent danger by slipping away. And it's slipping away without any trouble. It's slipping away without any difficulty whatsoever. When you do it God's way, man, and God works in you, you know, gives you word of knowledge, maybe word of wisdom, it blows our mind at how simple that was. You know, we would be sweating things and disturbed about stuff and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden you get into this God slot where you're just in fellowship. And it's like, say that. Do that. And you're like, what? That's our God. You know? Sent his word and healed them. And this, one of the definitions is to heal diseases of all kinds. Mental, spiritual, physical. It means to heal someone who's distressed by restoring them completely. And you've all done that. You guys are really good at it. You know, people come to you. Some of you guys go to each other and me. And, you know, we go to each other. And we're flipped the hell out. We're a mess. We're not right. We go for help. Somebody loves us. Those are the two things. Those are the number. Those are the two things. When we go to counsel, we're, and I hope you go to counsel, when you go to get counseled, that you want the word. But when we go to counsel for help, and we get the word, and we're humble, and we're loved, oh my gosh. It just helps us and it delivers us so much. It's to escape and to completely deliver somebody who's distressed by restoring them completely. And that's what God does with us. It's to cure the mind of its headaches, heartaches, pressures. And it also, this word healed, this word in the Old Testament means to pardon, to forgive. Not only your soul, but the souls of others. And again, we talked about forgiveness as being one of the big ways to get healed. Sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. From their destruction, where you're laid waste. It's to ruin from the destroyer. things that would absolutely ruin us, God heals us from. You know, it says the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came that we could have life and that we could have it more abundant. I don't, you know, the revelation or the inspiration or whatever it was that Dr. Werwell had when he had that as the opening verse. You know, what a theme and what a thread throughout that class. It just makes sense. The devil steals, he kills, he destroys. Jesus Christ gave us life. And life that's more than abundant. Philippians 2:5, which we've had in these last 7 weeks. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I mean, it says to put on the mind of Christ in Colossians. It says to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renew that you can prove, that you can put to test the things that are good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And we all know that the will of God is the Word of God, which is the greatest secret in the world today. In Ephesians chapter 5, I think it's chapter 5, be followers of God as His dear children, verse 1. Verse 2, it says, walk in love. That's the first thing that's mentioned to follow God after. And we want to have 60,000 things against each other as believers. Look at the Old Testament. Look at the New Testament. All the world is His love. To people like us. To people like the children of Israel. People like Peter. Denied the Lord 6 times before the cock crow. I forget how that all went. But he denied him, you know. Before the cock crowed 6 times, he denied him. I don't know this Jesus. And yet there he was on the day of Pentecost, saying, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remissions of sins and all this stuff. Good gravy. God's grace. We want to point a finger. I don't. God wants us to observe His word, which means to watch, to guard, to keep it. If there's something worth fighting for, it's the word of God. It's been the biggest fight in my life. A fight well worth fighting. First of all, for the word of God in your own life. Second of all, for the Word of God in other people's lives. I've always felt myself as kind of, at least whatever I was called to do and whatever is to keep bad outside influences from penetrating the believers before it gets to them. And that takes, it takes everything you got, really. And grateful for that. But the first thing after it says follow God as His dear children is to walk in love. And a few verses later it says walk in light. And a few verses later it says be circumspect, be sharp. You know, somebody was telling me, you know, oh, you sure have memorized a lot of it. Joe Armstrong said that. You sure know the word and all this stuff? And because I can quote it. And the only reason for that is because I grind it out. That's a bad way to put it. I push myself to stay my mind on one verse. I don't try to wander around. And then after a number of years of doing that, you compile a bunch of verses that have blessed you And also, you've noticed and blessed others. And that's what that circumspect means. It means to be sharp with the word. But it's not how many you know. It's how many you believe. How many you put in your heart. How many you keep. Because again, in this closing thing here, the two things I want to emphasize that are the biggest of all are God's word and God's love. We'll close in 1 Corinthians 13. We'll just read it. You realize, I mean, we hear it in teachings all the time. We've read it many, many times in stuff. But I think that 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 bit together. You know, in chapter 12, you've got the whole spiritual matters and all the nine manifestations. Oh, yeah. God wouldn't have us ignorant concerning spiritual matters, which is one of the seven times that I would not have you be ignorant is in the New Testament. And, you know, it's tongues, interpretation, prophecy. You know, all those manifestations are mentioned, and it says that everybody could manifest them as he wills. You don't have to be the president of Wells Fargo Bank. And then it talks about the beauty of the body. You know, can the foot say to the ear or whatever, all those things. And how everybody in the body of Christ is so valuable and important. And when we don't really value the body of Christ, there will be schisms. There'll be division. And then you get to chapter 13. Which is the love of God. And then you go to chapter 14, which really talks about the utterance manifestations. You know, it's tongues to interpretation, prophecy, explains what they are, what they aren't, how to use them. And then chapter 15, the gathering together. It's just, what a, just incredible scripture. Verse 1 of 13 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains and have not the love of God, I'm nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not the love of God, it profiteth me nothing. The love of God suffereth long, and it's kind. The love of God envieth not. The love of God vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. It doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things concerning the truth, hopeth all things concerning, enduring all things concerning the truth. Love of God never fails. Sure looks like it sometimes, but it never does. Whether prophecies will fail, tongues they shall cease, knowledge will be vanished away. We know in part, we prophesy in part, but that when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly. Not too clearly, really. But then, when Jesus Christ... Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now by the faith, hope, charity, these three... But the greatest of these is charity. So my exhortation to myself and to anybody who wants to listen is to believe God's word and to walk in love. This is what will bring the greatest healing not only to our own lives, but to the lives of the people that we have the privilege of talking to every day. Whether a place that's filled with Hindus, and they all heard the word that day. and will again tomorrow. Or whether it's to ourselves or the grocery store. Or, you know, I don't think people think about best places to witness. I sure as heck know these young people don't. They don't know what they're doing. I try to teach them, but they don't listen too much. The laundromat. Where are they going? Where are they going? They have to be there. So badger them with the word. No, I'm just kidding. Don't hide your life. I screwed this up at the advance. I forget what I said. Don't hide your bush under a light or something. I said it all screwed up. But well, we all have the same light, right? Let it shine, man. God gave you a mouth for one thing. It sure isn't the things that you hear in the world. It's to bless people, to love people with the love of God and with the word of God. Those are the greatest healing realities. So thanks for sticking in there for 7 weeks. Father, thank you for your love, your grace. Thank you for your great word that you placed in our midst. That we could be beneficiaries of everything that you have to offer. Thank you for the beautiful word that you placed in our midst. And you made it so simple, Father, that not even a child could err therein. Pray for everybody here, for their lives, for their family's life. Anything going on in those families, for healing it up. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.